Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you until 10 a.m. this morning. John McClain jumps in with us at 8 o'clock. It is Watson week for the Texans. It is Abreu week. And maybe then some for the Astros. Good morning, Seth Payne. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little stressed because I was having a hard time sorting everything out with the, in some people's minds, Bagwell apparently being appointed the GM position yesterday or something, versus a bunch of other people who are saying, nothing to see here, nothing, all is well. Like little Kevin Bacon shaking his hand, saying, all is well. Usually the truth lies somewhere in between. I think people are more correct on the Kevin Bacon side of things. Jeff Bagwell is a trusted advisor to Jim Crane, but I don't think Bagwell wants the GM spot.
No, I don't. Well, I don't think he wants the GM spot, but boy, he sure did have some quotes yesterday where he sounded very GM-like in terms of how he was talking, you know?
Well, like exactly the Yordan stuff, exactly, because yeah. He was talking about how he, when he started talking about how much he thinks Yordan should play, and we'll play it here in a second, it wasn't like, hey, I think this is what should happen, or I think this is maybe what they should consider, or what Dusty should consider. It sounded more like this.
Very first person. It was very first person. We're going to get to it in just a second. It was very first person. Bagwell. Yeah, Bagwell was the star of the show yesterday over at the Jose Abreu press conference. Ben, do we have it? Okay, thank you.
I think if you look at left field, there's obviously something we're going to think about. But I want Yordan to play, 45, 50% of the games in left field. I think it's good for him. I think mentally it's good. He enjoys it, so that's important. So there's going to have to be some way we figure out, left fielder, switch DH, first base. You can use the DH a lot in this, but I need Yordan to play about 45% of the games.
Yeah.
About 45%.
No. I need. It was.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. It was very first person. I'm listening to that. I'm like, this sounds like a GM right here.
It was about 45%, and it was... Not 40 or 50%, about 45% in his mind, I'm guessing. Bagwell, who I think what we're going to see here, and I think some of it was overstated in the media yesterday, and we'll explain that. Bagwell was mischaracterized as taking a swipe at James Click when, in fact, he'd been asked a question about baseball in general. But the theme that we got yesterday was that Bagwell doesn't have much use for analytics and hitting. He very much respects it in pitching. And then with that comment about Yordan in the 45% or so percentage of the time he should be in left field, I feel like Bagwell's title might not be a hitting coach, but hitting czar or something like that, the overseer of all things hitting.
Yeah, we'll get to more Bagwell in just a moment. Let's get to the Abreu stuff and where the Astros are with this offseason. First, here was Jim Crane on what they like about their new first baseman, Jose Abreu.
The numbers speak for themselves. He's been a consistent player for a number of years. And, you throw his bat in the lineup and his statistics, he's going to put some pop in the lineup. And that's why we were attracted to him. Plus, he's a first-rate guy. We got to spend a little time together last night. And I know from that meeting and from all the other folks that know Jose well, he'll be a great fit in the clubhouse.
Okay, so that's everything you've heard about Jose Abreu. Great guy. The stats speak for themselves. He is 36 years old. Here's Bagwell's analysis, which I think probably speaks to kind of Bagwell's ethos when it comes to baseball. Here's Bagwell on Abreu.
Obviously, there's benefits of playing here. It's kind of short to right and short to left, but he's a line drive hitter. He drives in a lot of big runs. There's a lot of guys that can drive in 80, 90 runs. This guy's driven in 120. You know, I don't know exactly about the other one, but over 115, things like that. He drives in big runs. He knows how to do that, and we can get him in our lineup that can only do stuff to benefit us.
The stat nerds are recoiling right now.
Well, yeah, this is the thing that people have noted is that when Bagwell gets on the broadcast, he loves to talk about RBIs, right, and things like that. Dude. And where the stat nerds don't like is that, hey, sometimes RBIs depend on other factors too. You know, are there people on base in front of you? All those things. Where are you in the lineup? All those things matter. And, like, stat nerds care about RBIs. It's just that they try to put them in context and figure out, okay, well, wait a second, is this guy in a different situation? I think where the two can meet, though, and where I think Abreu and Bagwell and the stat nerds can all, you know, have a drink and a jacuzzi together in spring training, is that Abreu hits well with runners in scoring position. So if the runners are there in scoring position, then yes, he'll hit them in, and now everybody can be happy. All you have to do to make everybody happy is to go out and get really, really good hitters, and then they can argue about whether it should be RBIs or OPS plus or RISP or anything, like which metric they should be concerned about.
Hey, tell me in this paragraph from Keith Law of The Athletic, his article about the Jose Abreu signing, which is titled "Astros Deny the Existence of Time by Signing Jose Abreu." It's a funny headline. I don't agree with everything in the article. Tell me where in this paragraph Bagwell jumps in and punches Keith Law in the face. In 2022, Abreu's production changed, and it's something we've seen before. He lost some bat speed and started to struggle on four-seamers for the first time in his career. His contact quality went down on four-seamers, and the harder the pitch, the more likely he was to whiff. He actually hit the fewest homers of any season since he first signed with the White Sox, fewer than he hit in the 60-game season in 2020. He put the ball on the ground more and went the other way a lot more, which in an older player is often a sign that he can no longer get around on pitches he used to pull or hit back up the middle. Fortunately for Abreu, he made up some of the lost power with a big boost in his plate discipline. He chased those pitches at the lowest rate of his career and close to league average for the first time as a big leaguer. And that led to more walks with a career-high 60 unintentionals and a career-high on-base percentage of .378.
The funny thing about analytics in baseball or any sport is that a lot of times they describe what you can see with your naked eye. I feel like if Bagwell sat down and watched every single Abreu at-bat, he might come to the same conclusion. The nice thing about the stats is that they can tell you all that story about every player in the league without having to sit down and dissect exactly what's going on. So I think sometimes there's just a knee-jerk reaction to either old school or analytics and what people think of it. So Bagwell might agree with everything that Keith Law just said, except for the conclusion that he drew from it. I think what Bagwell would say is, well, yeah, okay, great. So you're telling me the guy was able to hit against the shift? Is that somehow a bad thing? Seems like it would have been pretty nice in the last decade or so if more guys could have hit against the shift. And as far as the aging stuff, that's where I think maybe the old school might seep in a little too much with Bagwell he's old, but he still knows how to get her done.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, Abreu, ignore all that stuff. This is what you got to know.
And the guys like him. The guys like him. It's good in the clubhouse. Jim Crane was asked, okay, you signed Jose Abreu. What else is left to do? Are we done yet?
We're active. I mean, we'll stay active in the market. Certainly, Yearly's in the mix. As I mentioned before, Verlander's in the mix. And, you know, we're looking at other options. So we're not finished. We like our team with, you know, pitching strong. This adds another bat. But we think we can improve a little bit more.
All right, and one last one from Crane asked, what's left to do? I thought this was very telling. If you're wondering just how far Jim Crane will go to defend this World Series, you'll like this cut right here.
We've got a few more holes. I would say we've got to look at the catching and maybe another outfielder. And, you know, you never have enough pitching. So I think those are the spots that are fairly obvious.
Do you expect to stay under the CBT this year?
Don't know. We'll see where it ends. We certainly have the ability to go to it and over it if we want to.
Okay, and he said that before. This is not the first offseason he's alluded to, hey, if we need to go over it, we'll go over it. He just doesn't – they've not been presented with an instance where they've needed or wanted to go over the CBT.
You know what he should have said there?
What's that?
Should have said, son, this blazer I'm wearing costs $3,500. You think I'm worried about the CBT?
Costs more than your house.
I'm going to throw this in the trash on my way out of the room. I don't even give a damn.
I don't even wash clothes.
You hear me, son? Yeah.
I just leave them.
Wash clothes.
Pick them up. They pick them up, and I just put on a new outfit every day.
This sounds like used clothes to me. I got no time for that.
That's right. Yeah. CBT.
CBT right. Sounds too much like CBD.
I know. I could use some. All right. Looking for more football conversation, check out The Crew, Odyssey's newest football podcast. Josina Anderson, Fred Smoot, Morris Chestnut. Each week, players and celebs join The Crew to give you a peek behind the curtain on the headlines across the NFL. Follow The Crew in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Up next, the Browns come to town on Sunday, which means Deshaun Watson comes to town on Sunday. Turns out Deshaun Watson is going to have some people waiting for him at the stadium on Sunday. We will discuss next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. John McClain will join us at 8 o'clock. A lot to get to with John on the Texans front, the NFL front. I'm sure John's got a take on Jose Abreu, the newest Houston Astro. This little bit of news dropped. Well, we got wind of it after we went off the air yesterday. I guess this was part of an Athletic article by Kaylin Kaler. Of the Athletic. She wrote a piece, as Deshaun Watson returns to the field, it's unclear what lessons NFL teams learned. It's a good read. It's a long read. The part that's relevant to Sunday is that she did speak to Tony Busby. And she says, on Sunday, Watson will return to Houston to make his first NFL start since January 3rd, 2021. Turns out Busby's going to be there. She says this, Busby will be there, quote, with bells and whistles on, he said. And he's invited all 25 women he's represented in cases against Watson. Busby said, quote, I will be there to welcome Deshaun back to Houston. He knows his clients each have their own feelings about going to the game. Several have responded they aren't interested in attending, but Busby said the women who plan to be there in the suite, around 10, have told him they will come, will send a clear message to Watson, quote, you think you put us behind you, but we are all still here, end quote.
Yeah, which I know it has shades of, you know, gosh, was it? It was the debate in Houston, wasn't it? The presidential debate in Houston when the Clinton accusers were Sean.
have no idea.
Sean, okay, there was a the presidential debate where it was Hillary Clinton versus Trump, and I think Trump had invited several of the women that had accused Bill Clinton of sexual harassment.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, I remember. I just couldn't remember.
Come on, Sean. Get my historical political reference.
Not
come
even
on.
That far back.
Yeah.
I feel like a moron.
It just occurred to me that it was the Houston debate. So anyway, I think that the weird thing, I mean, everything about this entire scenario and situation has been strange, obviously. Atypical, unorthodox, whatever. The part I've always been uncomfortable is with, as serious as these allegations have been and are, and like in this subject matter is, there's always that feel that Tony Busby is the guy that at times feels like a carnival barker while he's representing these women who have very serious allegations. And it's hard to parse these things out in terms of how it's all being handled and what have you. I have zero clue how the Texans should handle this other than, you know, obviously to give any of the guests in any of their suites a whole lot of respect as they would customers. Like, honestly, my first thought was, all right, what's going to happen if a large percentage of the fans at the stadium are Browns fans? And if people know where that suite is, like, for the sake of the women, I would hope that there's extra eyeballs, perhaps, watching everything.
I've not thought about that. I've not thought about that, because there will be a big Browns contingent at this game on Sunday. There's been a big contingent of every opposing fan base so far this year.
And 80% of them will be drunk.
Yes.
And a lot of them will be belligerent and perhaps not being their best version of themselves. So I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't want it turned into a spectacle, because to a certain degree, I think Tony Busby or the women want to be noticed. Yeah. And yet at the same time, you don't want it to turn into something where it diminishes the importance of it. Because there's the entire time all of this has been going on, it's been really hard to talk about sports and like how you might dislike the Browns as a sports team or dislike Deshaun Watson as a quarterback and not have that somehow bleed over into not taking the allegations seriously.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing that's very, very trivial, which is sports and everything we do with it. And then there's the other side, which is the very serious allegations. It's to make a prediction exactly about whether this is a good thing to do, a bad thing to do, whether it will be handled tactfully, or how you can even tactfully handle it. I've just never seen anything like it before, and so I don't really know. My first, like my petty sports thought was that they should just go ahead and, you know, zoom in on the booth while they're introducing Deshaun.
That would add some juice to things. I think, you know, Seth, I'm with you on the first part of what you said. That my gut reaction with anything with Tony Busby is okay. There's going to be a spectacle aspect to this. Like, there is that first gut feeling that he's making a spectacle of it. Then I take a step back and I go, okay, there are at least 10 women, or Kaylin Kaler says around 10 have told Busby they're going to come to the game. So give or take 10. You know, I don't know what happened between Deshaun and those women, and I don't know how they feel justice was served or if justice was served. I know that I'm guessing these are 10 women who settled with Deshaun Watson, since there's only one, Lauren Baxley, who hasn't settled with Watson. And by the way,
at least 9 of them did. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, by the way, Baxley is still going forward with her lawsuit, and she doesn't seem to have any intention of settling, according to the quotes in this article. I can't put myself in the shoes of those women, so I don't know if this is something. I can't tell them how to feel or what to do, as long as they're not doing something that's illegal. When they're demonstrating, you know, it's hard for me to say this is wrong. Don't do this.
Right. And they're not they're going to a football game. Going to a football game.
Yeah.
What Sean and I will not be doing this morning is telling everybody what we sure would have done if we were a woman who was sexually assaulted.
Yes.
That's the worst take out there is explaining what you, a guy, would have done if you were actually a woman and you had been sexually assaulted.
Yep.
I think In these situations, as Tony Busby did explain, like, every single woman in these cases are individual. This wasn't a class action suit. Each scenario was different and separate, and people respond to things different ways. And there's so much speculation that people throw out there just based on what happens afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's inaccurate and it's irresponsible.
Deshaun will get asked about this today at his press conference. He's set to do a press conference. Someone in Cleveland, because Cleveland's done a good job peppering him with hard questions, someone will ask him, have you heard that Tony Busby is going to be at the game with 10 of your accusers? What do you think of that?
Is this his first press availability since the suspension?
Yeah, okay. Since the one where he stood on his innocence after the 11-game suspension, yes. Yep.
Trying to think of like playing in a stadium if you know exactly where that suite is, like, and you're trying like hell not to, because cameras will be trained on him the entire time, obviously. Like, all he has to do is make one glance in that direction, and somebody will catch a still frame of
probably
that, at the very least. So, like, how much is it? Let's say Deshaun were just completely compartmentalized and yet was also trying to not stare at one specific section of the stadium.
Yep.
Is that enough to just somehow flummox him mentally or something?
I don't think this is something that's going to affect his level of play on Sunday, if you want my opinion on it.
He's seen it all and experienced it all in terms of this case and what, you know, what accusations could be made, how people are going to feel about him, and that he's probably just kind of siloed up and he's just going to go in and focus.
Yes, I'm going to make a general comment about athletes and then a specific one about Deshaun that ties to it. I'm always fascinated by the ability of athletes to compartmentalize off the field stuff and on the field stuff. Fascinated.
Yeah.
There's so many guys that have really bad stuff going on off of the field and they're able to go out and play really well on Sundays. Now,
You're not talking about Kyler Murray with Call of Duty, right?
No. And Deshaun has performed at an elite level in huge situations before. Like, I of all the athletes, if we're doing a spectrum of athletes where I feel like this guy's going to be able to kind of shelter himself from the noise, focus on 60 minutes of football, Deshaun is at the far end of the spectrum where I feel like he will do that. I don't think this is going to affect him one bit. I think it's a huge... To me, it's a huge story. I know it's trending on all the websites here, and everybody's talking about it on the news. I don't, if Deshaun plays poorly on Sunday, I'm going to guess it's more because of Russ than because of Tony Busby.
Well, I mean, I told you this is going to be a crossover phenomenon this week, as it has been.
Yes.
And appropriately so. When it crosses out of just the sports news into the real world, then there's going to be a whole lot. There's a lot of intrigue for non-sports fans about this game itself.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. No. I saw this bit of news on TMZ yesterday. So there you go. Like, that's where we are.
What, let's see, when was Tom Brady's... I'm going to ask you another historical question. Off the top of your head, when was Tom Brady's divorce finalized? It was like late October.
Yeah, it was in season. I know that.
Let's say somewhere around late October. I'm trying to see if there's any correlation between him finding some finality and
he won his first two games after the divorce was finalized. So they were 3-5, and then they got to 5-5.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think
that would have been after the Baltimore loss,
yep.
I'm guessing. So he ended up having not a really good game against the Rams, but then a really good game against Seattle after that.
Not a good game against the Rams, but he led a drive at the end of that game to win the game. Yeah,
that's right.
That was where people feel like the breakthrough kind of may have happened. Of course, they lost to the Browns this week, so who the hell knows? Chatter around the league about future head coaching vacancies has coaches, execs, and agents dialed right in, boom, here in Houston. We will have that for you next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of Deshaun Watson questions coming in on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page.
Trailer Wheel and Frame.
So Deshaun Watson will be playing at NRG Stadium this week, barring tragedy at practice. But, tragedy, if that's, you know.
Like another torn ACL
people, maybe
or
it
something,
be.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So Deshaun Watson coming into town, as we predicted, this would be a crossover phenomenon in the media. This is not just a sports story, especially when we find out that Tony Busby, who represented the women in these cases, is going to be there with 10 of Deshaun's accusers to watch the game in a suite.
Yep.
So I think that one thing, based on a couple of the texts, I'm glad they brought this up because I hadn't thought of this. People had mentioned something about what the women will say. There's a confidentiality agreement as part of the settlements.
Yes.
So I'm guessing you're not going to hear any actual protest or any statement made or anything. I think they could if somebody tried to push them on the confidentiality agreement, they're saying we're just attending a football game, which
that's
I
right.
would my limited legal mind would see the common sense in that.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously, Busby is stating it as something more than that, in that it's they're making a statement, but they're not speaking specifically about the case or anything like that.
Yeah, his mere presence. I want to hit just a text or two, and then we'll get to the Mike Sando article about the Texans coaching situation. Because yeah, a lot of people are talking about this Busby thing with Deshaun. The 4661 on the this is middle screen. Watson is going to go into the game acting like it's a grudge match for him and act like the Texans did him wrong. Do you agree? Like I mean, it's hard to climb inside the brain of Deshaun Watson. If you're Deshaun Watson, is that the healthy thing to do, to go into this game thinking you're going to wreak havoc on your former employer?
This is something that we've discussed before any of this drama. We've had discussions about Deshaun and how he doesn't tend to be a big chip on the shoulder guy. That's never been part of his motivation, I don't think. He loves talking about the word legendary, and he's now legendary in multiple ways, but he's never been a chip on the shoulder guy. So I don't think that's what you get. Like, I'm going through my brain right now, and I can't really remember a time where he talked about proving the doubters wrong or anything like that. So I just don't think that's the way he's wired as a football player. You know, some guys, if Baker Mayfield would be coming in here, if were he to be hypothetically in a similar situation with his hair on fire and out to prove the world wrong,
yeah,
and he'd throw seven interceptions because of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
2555 on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Does Deshaun get booed, or are Texan fans over it? Well, of course he's going to get booed by some people. That's the big question for me. And Ross Tucker asked us this question yesterday when we had him on and we were having a conversation with him about this. He was asking us, what's the vibe around town about Deshaun coming to town? He compared it to what it would be like in Philadelphia, which is the team he covers, which I would submit that regardless of how each of the teams in those cities are doing, they're very different cities culturally as far as how they treat opposing players, period, let alone ones that left the team and went to another team with several allegations swirling around them. But as I told Ross yesterday, Seth, I feel like, and this will be a good segue in a moment into Lovie Smith, I feel like the distraction of just how poorly the Texans are playing is kind of muting the Deshaun reaction this week.
Yeah, well, there's that, and then also what I would have told Ross, except that we veered in another direction, was unlike the Phillies, the Texans fan base has been a little bit distracted by a World Series championship. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, so like Eagles fans would not have the glory and the parade and all of those things to worry about, that would distract them from a Deshaun Watson return. Whereas Texans fans, as I explained to Drew Hodgson yesterday, when the Astros and the Texans were playing at the same time, simultaneously, on that Thursday night game, I was watching from the press box, and looked like an Eagles game. It's all green down there. People cheering when the Eagles do something, all that. I got down into the club level to go somewhere else during the game, and it looked like an Astros game. It was all orange inside there. Like, it was a lot of orange. So, obviously, people have been more absorbed with the Astros than the Texans. I do think there's a burnout effect with Deshaun too.
Yeah,
I think that, and because like what we were talking about earlier, which is there's kind of a decency side to it, that these are very sensitive legal matters and social issues and all of that wrapped up into it, that it feels kind of crass to bring the to trivialize the allegations or anything and make it part of like a football jeer.
Yeah.
That's the part that I struggle with a lot of that just because of the seriousness of the situation.
Yep. So Mike Sando of The Athletic has his Monday piece that he does, which for my money is the best of any national reporter. Peter King has one that he does for NBC Sports.
It sounds like you just said Peter King ain't squat.
Albert Breer, I think compared to Mike Sando and the way he does his article, Albert Breer and Peter King just pontificate way too. Their articles are too long. They're like 30,000 words. Mike Sando on The Athletic divides it into 6 bullet points, super consumable, easy to bring on the radio, and the very first bullet point on his Monday article this week, the headline for the first bullet point was, here's what's interesting about the head coaching dynamics around the NFL from McVay to Peyton to Harbaugh and beyond. This is the very first sentence. Coaches, execs, and agents are looking at Houston, Arizona, and Denver as the places most likely to join Carolina and Indy in the market for head coaches, with some thought that the Rams could have a vacancy depending on what Sean McVay decides to do, and the Chargers might consider a change down the line because their season is so up and down. There will generally be a surprise or two as well. It's that first part. The very first city listed, Seth. There's no alphabetical order, no nothing. Coaches, execs, and agents are looking at Houston as one of the places that's likely to join the market for a head coach. Whereas if you had said before the season that the Texans were going to be one and done with Lovie Smith, I think a lot of people were saying, like, there's no way. There is no way that they want to be a two-time one and done, particularly with two minority coaches. There's no way. Just stop already. Whereas now, nationally, like, Mike Sando's not alone. There are articles all over the place that are speculating almost as if it's fait accompli that Houston is going to be one of the openings, and they aren't even bringing up the optics of what it looks like. They're just, it's that bad here right now with the football team.
Yeah, the optics are that it's so bad that people are going to understand if you fire it. What people will try to frame it as is, well, now the Texans, though, regardless of the reasons, they've hired a new head coach in 2 successive years. They've fired 3 coaches in 3 years. That one graphic on CBS tried to add Romeo Crennel as a guy that had left as a coach. Come on, dude. He was an interim coach. So during the game, I got pissed at that graphic because it said that and it said, Houston, we have a problem. So
yes, that will always piss us off.
Yeah. I wrote an angry letter on parchment and sent it to CBS. So the one and done thing, I think that around the league, what people know and understand is that I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the Browns are coming to town, and it's actually kind of a big deal because of the Deshaun Watson scenario.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The last two coaches were hired under the veil of Deshaun Watson controversy. Mm-hmm. You know, Culley was hired. Now, the Culley hire is one I was – the Culley hire is way worse than the Lovie Smith hire, but it was also done when Deshaun Watson was requesting a trade. It was before anybody knew anything about the allegations against Deshaun Watson. But that veil that was over the franchise and how appetizing it made or how low it was as an appetizing place to destination, that's been removed, obviously. Like, now they've just got good old-fashioned, hey, we need a quarterback problems, as opposed to, hey, what are you doing with that quarterback that doesn't want to play for you anymore, but he's got a really expensive contract?
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm looking at Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler. They have that column that they do on ESPN.com where they kind of go back and forth on different topics each week. This was from a couple days before the loss to the Dolphins. Graziano was saying this: Indy and Carolina are already open, and people are watching Denver closely as a potential opening. Arizona's on the watch list if the Cardinals don't turn things around. Brandon Staley could be on the hot seat if they don't make the playoffs with the Chargers. I don't think anybody ever knows what Houston is going to do.
That's right, baby. We keep it spicy. That's the truth, man. It is funny whenever people say, like, well, logically, this is what the Texans would do. I'm not even I'm picking on them because I like unorthodox in a way. It's the whole dynamic of Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien and everything that went into it was just weird. And I'm not trying to pile on Easterby or anything at all. It was just from the very surface level analysis of, like, oh, wait a second. So this guy was a character coach, and now he's in charge of a whole lot of stuff and has a whole lot of input in your organization. That part alone was just strange. It was really, really strange. And on and on and on. So I do think with Caserio acting on his own, and after having successfully traded away Deshaun Watson, this is honestly, Sean, the one thing I've been kind of surprised by is that there are a whole lot of people that are criticizing Caserio for the two coaching hires, and yet not even acknowledging that it was done while Deshaun Watson was under the allegations and trying to be traded, and that a lot of people thought that the Texans weren't going to get anything for Deshaun Watson because of all of that.
Yeah.
Like, Caserio went and got a bounty for Deshaun Watson and also had to hire those two coaches, which ultimately I think might end up looking like what they were, which was just bridge coaches. And that's the way it is. Now, if it works out well, then 3 years from now, everybody will claim that they were right on board with Caserio the whole time and they understood all the difficult situations and circumstances there were. But it's been really, really strange. I will fault Caserio and Cal McNair for just flat out having Easterby in the situation that he was in. Like,
yeah.
Easterby just had far larger a voice and influence. That's not conspiracy theory. That's statements from the team itself. As a guy who was unqualified in personnel matters, as Bill Belichick would tell you, he just had way too much influence. And that's on Cal McNair, and that's on Nick Caserio, though, although I don't know if Nick Caserio really understood exactly. It took him a while to figure out exactly what the dynamics were.
The wild card for me with the head coaching dynamic the first couple years, where I agree with you, you know, in defense of Caserio, it's been a completely weird couple of years. The wild card for me was how close they came to hiring Josh McCown. That's the one where we'll never know what was going to happen and if that would have been a good hire or a bad hire. We do know it would have been a hire that probably would have angered the fan base, turned off the fan base more than invigorated the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll just never know, but I think that's something that it's something that you need to factor in if they're going to go on a third head coaching search here. You know, like, that part makes me a little bit nervous about a third head coaching search coming up here.
That's the McCown thing, which, you know, and the problem is, I almost wish the McCown thing had happened because, I don't know, maybe I would have improved.
Dude, wrong. I 100% wish it happened now. This is a disaster.
But the only thing that I don't like about it not happening really is that somewhere out there, Jack Easterby is telling somebody that it could have worked with Josh McCown, and he just knows it.
Well, and my guess is they would have been a package deal, and Easterby's still in the building if Josh McCown is the head coach. So maybe let me back off on that caveat that I wish.
I think that this obviously next one will be the hire. This coaching hire will be the one that either allows Nick Caserio to keep or lose his job.
Yep.
I think this will be the genuine one where, okay, if it works out with this coach, then Caserio will still be the coach the GM 4 or 5 years from now. If it doesn't, then that might be it for Caserio.
This coach, this number one overall pick, those are the two things. These are the final exam, as I like to say. These are the things that count for 2/3 of your grade. The upcoming head coaching hire, if there is one, and I think we anticipate there will be, and the first pick in the draft. Lovie Smith's odds of being the next head coach fired as of last week, I've not seen any new odds on this, 7.5 to 1. He was 4th on the list behind Nathaniel Hackett, who's a heavy favorite right now, and I think appropriately so. Cliff Kingsbury, who's next, I think appropriately so. Josh McDaniels was ahead of Lovie Smith as of a week or so ago. I think that's probably changed. You know, the Raiders seem to have gotten it in gear. You know, they were 2-7. They're 4-7 now. I think the Raiders are a more talented football team than their record would indicate, and they've been hit with some injuries at the skill positions. I think the Raiders are going to ultimately probably be an 8 or 9 win team this year. But then there's Lovie. Then there's Dennis Allen. Matt LaFleur. Does Matt LaFleur? I don't think Matt LaFleur is getting fired, but it is funny to see his name on the list.
It's funny. We've got some good audio concerning Aaron Rodgers a little bit later.
Do we ever?
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, the thing about Aaron Rodgers, real quick, is I kind of was thinking about Aaron Rodgers. Is he washed? That question comes up. He's got obvious injury issues that he's dealing with or has dealt with. The thing about Aaron Rodgers compared to like Eli Manning or Drew Brees, when it was obvious for a couple years that this is probably it for them, Drew Brees would do real well for the first half of the season, but then he would decline. Aaron Rodgers still makes some incredibly impressive plays at times. Like, he still makes some of these throws where you can see, like, okay, he's capable of it. He's just not consistent with it right now. That would jibe with a loss of Davante Adams and injuries. And I think that he probably will be back to more himself next year. I wouldn't start planning on his replacement just yet.
No. Jordan Love did some good things on Sunday when he got in there, but we'll see what happens.
Like, yeah, he had 6 pass attempts.
No, I know. He did some good things, I'm saying. Like, he threw a touchdown pass. You don't like my takes on little small sample sizes this week.
No.
That's you did not like my take on Kenny Pickett yesterday? That was a whole game, not just 6 snaps.
That's how Marcus Mariota is a starting quarterback right now, is because twice a year he gets in for 1 quarter, and you're like, wow, look at that. He's really athletic, and he's capable of throwing the ball past the line of scrimmage.
I would be a crappy GM, yes, but I am a great hot take radio host. Yes. Jordan Love should be replacing Aaron Rodgers today. I'm just joking. All right, let's give away some whiskey talk tickets.
The holiday season is here, and another Yellow Rose Whiskey Talk with Sean Pendergast holiday special is coming next Tuesday. Be caller number 5 right now, and you and a guest will be joining us at this exclusive event. Call now, 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5 to 713-572-4610, and you're on your way to the Yellow Rose Distillery for our special holiday whiskey talk next Tuesday night.
All right, there you go. Join us next Tuesday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. The Yellow Rose Distillery, a little whiskey talk. It's really a whiskey party, Christmas party, but we want you to be there. You and a guest, caller number 5. So we'll do that every hour today. Today is your last chance to win, but you got, by my count, 10 or 11 more chances today to be in attendance at the, 11 more chances today, because we're going to do it throughout the day here on Sports Radio 610. All right, up next, we head into the 7 o'clock hour. Let's circle back to Jeff Bagwell. He was asked about analytics. Did the Astros go too far with the analytics movement? A little Bagalytics talk next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.